We're lucky enough to have former President Bill Clinton was on the show, making the rounds. He and I discussed mostly his global initiative project, and then, of course, in the commercials, he just kept asking me about the cast of Laguna Beach, and if I had seen it, and what I thought of the new kids, and, you know, did I think it was lame, he kept saying. Anyway, yesterday, the president made an appearance on Fox News with Chris Wallace, and Chris Wallace had a question for the president.
Why didn't you do more to put Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda out of business when you were president?
Boink! It is a tough question, a complex question, so complex it took two different Clintons to answer it. The first Clinton.
No, you ask it. You brought it up. So you did Fox's bidding on this show. You did your nice little conservative hit job on me. No, wait. Don't tell me this. You asked me, why didn't I do more to Bin Laden? You got that little smirk on your face, and you think you're so clever. That's just a bunch of bull.
And then, of course, there was also informational Clinton.
After the cold, I had battle plans drawn to go into Afghanistan, overthrow the Taliban. We could not get the CIA and the FBI to certify that Al-Qaeda was responsible. They had no meetings on Bin Laden for 9 months after I left office. They downgraded him and the terrorist operation. They had 8 months to try. They did not try.
Angry Clinton, informational Clinton. I wonder which one the media focused on.
Former President Clinton became combative over the weekend.
Became very combative during the interview.
During a combative Fox News interview.
The former president was furious.
He seemed to go on overload. It seemed like a complete meltdown.
I was really taken aback that he lost it.
Really? Who the f*** are you?
And we're coming back a little bit early because you can see there the live pictures from Batavia, Illinois, where Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert is walking toward his one of the offices in his home district there to step to the microphones there.
This ought to be good. We're going to get to hear some lies from the sweaty wrestler in a mad panic.
He'll be addressing reporters in the wake of this scandal over Congressman Mark Foley and inappropriate emails.
Much,
let's take a listen.
Everybody showing up today. I'm sorry, you know, when you talk about the page issue and what's happened in the Congress, I'm deeply sorry that this has happened.
Is that sorry that it happened, or sorry that you got caught, and sorry that you're going to lose your job, and sorry that the Republicans might lose the Senate, and sorry that the Republicans might lose the House? In your obituary is going to read, Denny Hastert, the longest-serving Speaker of the House ever, comma, who had to step down over a teenage boy sex scandal, comma, died today.
And the bottom line is that we're taking responsibility.
You don't have much of a choice, do you, sweaty? It wasn't a Democrat that was trying to seduce those little boys. It was your friend, the guy that wrote you the $100,000 check, and you kept quiet. Some people say for 11 years.
For something like this to occur, our system obviously isn't designed for the electronic age of instant messages.
It's a series of tubes, tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially, tubes.
When Congress found out about the explicit messages, Republicans dealt with it immediately, and the culprit was gone.
I don't think you can get off the hook that easy, Mr. Sweaty. Even what they're calling these overly friendly emails, what's a 52-year-old dude writing to some boy in his underpants who's 17, 15, whatever, asking, what you look like? Send me a picture. That's plenty creepy. You don't have to say, how big is it? Are you hard yet? To get gross. Although, yeah, the fact that he continued to get grosser and grosser as the years went by, that's why you should have shut this down back in 95, Sweaty. Your defense in this is you knew about the really gross stuff, but not the really, really gross stuff. That shows you've got no values. You got to step down. You're out of touch with mainstream America, sir.
We're now trying to correct the problem. We've asked the Ethics Committee to look into this matter, and we asked for criminal investigations to be opened by the Justice Department, the FBI, and the state of Florida.
And the reason we asked for all three is because the first two might get done before the election, and we've got to say no, we got to hold back and wait for all the investigations to come in. No matter how long it takes, we must get the truth. We must. Harump, harump. Because they can't have this come out before the election.
We have a toll-free number.
Is it 1-800-GOP-PERV? That'd be the kind of number everybody could remember, because you bastards are such perverts.
Where people can confidently call. And we've reached out to experts around the country to put a system in place to make sure this never happens again.
I think voting Democrat would probably be the fastest system you could implement to make sure this doesn't happen again. Because you bastards are the perverts. Democrats like to have sex with hot women. Republicans like to have sex with the Constitution and young boys.
The tip number is 1-866-384-0481.
Well, wait, how much is it per minute?
We will do everything possible to make the program safe for the kids while they're in our care in Washington, D.C. And we will make sure that we can be a resource for their parents once they return home.
Do you send these poor kids home with a donut so they can sit down and eat dinner with the family? Why would anyone trust you? You held on to the secret for somewhere between 2 and 11 years. You can't be trusted. You're like a priest that's been caught a couple of times. You're saying, oh, we started an investigation. No, dude, you're the guilty. We know you were involved. They came to you. And it went unreported, unresolved, unfixed. And then he wrote you a big-ass check, $100,000, and you didn't see a problem. And then it blew up. He said, oh, we better look for a way to stop this. Hey, getting rid of you, dude. That's how we're going to solve this problem. But, oh, I do appreciate you hanging around. I want you to stay and fight. I want you to fight like your career depends on it. Hang around, Denny, for, oh, another 5 weeks probably will do it. Oh, this is so cool. Dude, the harder you push to stay, the better it's going to be when you have to get up there and say, oh, I decided to spend some time with my family, you big lying pervert, you.
We are looking for a person of high caliber to advise us on the PAGE program.
Well, hey, I can give you some advice, Denny. Quit dicking the pages.
I reached out to the Democrat leader and shared with her some of the ideas, and we hope to resolve this soon. Final point is our children need to be protected, and we're going to do everything we can to protect them.
But, Sweaty, you were supposed to be protecting them all along. Don't tell us you're going to start doing your job now. This sounds a lot like 9/11. Now that the damage has been done, we're going to do real good on our jobs from now on. We might have fallen asleep when they shot Mr. Lincoln, but by God, we're awake now. No, we don't trust anymore, dude. Pack and ship.
Take some questions.
Mr. Speaker, you said this morning in the Tribune, you were quoted saying that people who want to see this thing blow up are ABC News and a lot of Democratic operatives, people funded by George Soros.
You know, I saw a picture of George Soros today, and I think it was the first time I'd ever got a look at him. These whore Republicans, they've got big cancer on their side. They got big rifle on their side. They got the pharmaceuticals. They got the oil companies. They got the bankers. They got everybody. And God forbid the Democrats have one wealthy guy that contributes money. Oh, it's that George Soros again. Oh, my God. As if you don't have Richard Mellon's cave and a whole army of these bastards. That Coors crazy man up in Colorado. I mean, there's just so many hundreds. If you've got hundreds of billions of dollars, you're a Republican, because that's not enough. And you got to have a tax cut so you become a Republican so you can fight for that another $100 million that you can't possibly spend before you die. Those people are on your side. We got one guy on our side.
Are you maintaining, Mr. Speaker, that this story was fueled by political opponents?
I only know what I've seen in the press and what I've heard. There's no real source of information, but that's what I've read, and that's what I've heard in the press.
That's not what you said on the Vulgar Pig Boys show. You blamed it all on Nancy Pelosi. Someone in the stupid gaggle of whores ought to say, sir, where is your proof? If you're going to make the accusation, please show us the proof. But no, they won't ask that question. Pretty damn simple question. I think the Democrats did it. Why do you think that? I don't know. I might have heard a rumor.
And the fact is, we've turned this whole thing over to the FBI.
That would be the FBI that is accountable to the president? Wonder how objective they're going to be.
For us to try to find out what happened.
But, Sweaty, you know what happened. You helped cover it up for 11 years. And now you want the FBI to tell you what you knew and when you learned it.
And that's what we want to do. And any member of Congress that is involved in this, or any staffer, needs to comply. And the results will be there.
Mr. Speaker, will you set the record straight on a couple of things? Tell us once again, if you will, when you learned that there was more than a minor problem, that this was truly something that had a predatory feel to it.
I don't think I understand this minor problem business. You got a man in his 50s inappropriately getting close to some teenagers. And even if he just says, hi, how you doing? What's your favorite sport? Do you have a girlfriend and can I have a picture? Well, that's way fucking creepy. And they allowed that. We need to look at this. This is the party of, oh, we got to be all super for God. And they just stood there and let that go because it wasn't that bad. You know, there's a TV show called Veronica Mars. And the sheriff on that show was caught on video in an elevator kissing a high school girl who was 18 at the time. So what they did, this is what the Democrats need to do. You anticipate and you get out ahead of the other guy. What they did on this Veronica Mars show, they wanted some information from the sheriff. They knew he would not give it to them. So they went and asked him, do you know this girl? And he says, no. And they showed him a picture of him standing next to her. And he says, so I'm standing next to her. And then they showed him a second picture of him kissing her. And he says, well, she's 18. She's legal. And they knew he was going to say that. It's kind of a logical place to go. So they had a thing printed up ahead of time. It was like a campaign slogan looking sign with a picture of him kissing the girl with the slogan underneath it. She's 18. It's legal. They said, hey, that could be your campaign theme. And see, this is the kind of thing that Democrats could do. They could get some of these, what they call overly friendly emails and blow them up and put them on, find some of the good ones, blow them up, put them on a big giant placard like we carried on the protest signs, the worst president ever posters, and just follow Hastert around. The speaker approved this. The speaker had no problem with this. And just follow the bastard around. He's going to have to face it sooner or later. But the poor Democrats, they can't think. There's not anybody in the Democratic Party as smart as one of the writers on the Veronica Mars TV show. And it's just too damn bad that the Democrats are so stupid, they can't even monkey see, monkey do. When the Republicans do something to them, they can't even think, why, I could turn this around on them. They can't come up with that. They don't have the brains. What's wrong with the Democrats that they don't have the brains of a monkey? They don't have the brains to monkey see, monkey do. And every time Karl Rove and his dirty tricks come up, if the Democrats, the idiots, if they would just once ask themselves, I wonder if this could be a Karl Rove dirty trick. That could solve a whole lot of problems. God knows it would have saved Dan Rather's career. But no, Dan Rather's kind of a Democrat. He's too stupid to protect himself. He's too stupid to anticipate a problem that might come up. What is wrong with the Democrats? They've already seen this happen. Granted, I don't guess a lot of Democrats are watching Veronica Mars, but if you just anticipate, obviously, if the girl's 18, he's going to say she's 18, it's legal. And in this case, apparently what the Republicans are going to do is say, they're going to say this kid was 16 and D.C. 16 is legal, so what they did was legal. So print up a giant sign that says, it's okay, the boy was 16, he's legal, and carry the damn sign around and say, this is what Dennis Hastert approved of. The Republican Party is the party of, it's okay, 16 is legal. They should just make that their slogan for 06. It's okay, 16 is legal in D.C. Make that their theme. If every Democrat would get in front of a camera and say, well, the Republicans say it's okay if the kid's 16. You remember when Monica was 22 and they talked about, oh, the child was taken advantage of by that lured Mr. Clinton. This child is barely, who knows at 22? Who knows what's going on? But now it's 16. It's like, well, he's an adult in D.C. My gosh, use your head. Follow the law. And the poor Democrats, they just can't figure it out. Ain't it sad? What's truly sad is that some idiot tequila-drinking Okie with an IQ of 64 in Oklahoma is so much smarter than anybody, apparently, in the Democratic National Committee. Why can't anybody up there think? The election's a month from tomorrow. And if we end up getting lucky and winning one or both houses, it's not going to be because of anything we did, right? Hell, if you're in a football game and there's a big play and the guy gets mixed up and runs the wrong way and scores a touchdown, that doesn't say a whole lot about our team. We might have won the game, but only because the other guy ran the wrong damn way. The Democrats are so stupid, the only time we can win is when the other team forgets which goal they're defending and runs the ball in our end zone. If only they would listen to me, I could win this so big. We could win by 15, 20 points. It's so easy.
And secondly, after you've answered that question, if you really did only learn a week or so ago, were you not let down by staff members who seem to have known much more? And if heads ought to roll, shouldn't some of them come from your own staff, if not you personally?
I, first of all, learned of this last Friday. And that's the first time that I heard of the explicit language.
Once again, but that proves that you allowed the previous. You know, if you allow petting above the waist and you draw the line at below the waist, well, then you approved of petting above the waist. Put that on a sign. Just list the facts. How many times have you heard me say that? If they would just list the facts. Make a big-ass sign, Dennis Hastert is okay with going to second base with a 16-year-old boy. But no, they can't figure it out.
When that happened, Republicans acted and the guy's gone.
No, that's not what happened. When ABC discovered what you were doing, they blew the whistle. And once the police car showed up, then you said, oh, this must be a crime. We should stop it. But you were okay with it until you got caught, you sweaty bastard sexual molester, you.
I don't know who knew what when.
This is like Bush saying, if somebody on my staff leaked the plame information, I want to know about it. Well, then fucking go ask them. Line them up in a room and say, who knew? I want to know right now. Raise your goddamn hand. And trust me, Bush uses language like that all the time. Fuck Saddam, we're taking him out. He's got a much worse mouth than I do. But just get him in a room and say, I want to know who did it. Hastert could find out, whatever, this press conference was at noon. He could have known by 12:30. Just get him in a room, say, who knew? Everybody get a piece of paper, write down what you knew and the date you learned it. Do it right now. I want those papers in my hand in 30 minutes. He could do that, but no. He's trying to cover up. He's trying to stall for time, so he's going to call for an investigation. Oh, let's appoint a blue ribbon committee to form a panel that'll form a commission that'll begin to start to investigate this as the months go by. That's what you do when you're guilty.
We know that there are reports of people that knew it and kind of fed it out or leaked it to the press. That's why we've asked for investigation.
Well, once again, it sounds like the big story to them is who leaked the information. It isn't what was going on and who didn't stop it. They want to know where the leak came from.
Well,
let me just say, that's when we've asked for an investigation to find who that is. If it's members of my staff or they didn't do the job, we will act appropriately.
There he goes again. He didn't say we'll fire the people who knew about the sexual abuse. No, he didn't say that. He said we'll take appropriate action. Remember, Bush said the same thing. He started out saying, if anybody on my staff was leaking, they're fired. Then he changed that to, if anybody on my staff was leaking, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a good hard look at them. And then it eventually got down to, well, she wasn't really technically, not really actually an active agent at the time, even though the CIA said she was. So that's what we get from the Republicans. One weasel word after another. All they can do is weasel, 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 because the facts won't serve them.
If it's somebody else's staff, they ought to act as appropriately as well.
Nobody's admitted it to you. No one on your own staff has acknowledged knowing the seriousness of the problem 1, 2, or 3 years ago, and certainly no one told you about it.
No.
Would they dare elect, Mr. Speaker, if they didn't let you know what was going on?
Now, my staff...
Sweaty, you were asked a yes or no question, and your reply starts out with, my staff, well, no, give us a yes or no. If you want to explain something after that, fine, but can't you answer the simple question? No, you can't, because you're guilty. When they say, why were you at the hooker's house at 2:30 in the morning drunk? Well, my staff, no, that's not how you answer that question, Sweaty. You got caught. Admit it.
It's been... if somebody didn't let us know, then there's a problem, and I think the investigation will find that
would
out.
How were the emails characterized?
How were they characterized? Were they just overly friendly? And not only as the speaker, but as a former teacher, coach, did that not ring any alarms to you?
We were advised in our office, and then to the clerk's office, and then to the chairman of the page board, that there was a Katrina message.
A Katrina message? What, when a congressman goes down on a 16-year-old, a city drowns? What the hell are you talking about, a Katrina message? And did you hear all that? Please let something pop into my damn head. Because I'm lying, because I'm guilty, because I can't think of anything, so I'm going to stand there and hope everybody forgets the damn question.
Period. We knew of no other emails, that in that system, there were no other emails other than that one that I know of.
You mean you knew there was one inappropriate email and you chose to just let that go? More and more, it sounds like the Catholics. We're not going to get into the one strike and you're out rule. No, you should get a couple of cracks, no pun intended, at the 16-year-old's butt. But we're not going to throw out anybody for a single mistake. We need every vote because the Democrats might legalize boys kissing. So we're going to approve of a congressman going down on a 16-year-old. That's okay, but two men kissing, noonie, noonie.
And we didn't even have the email because the parents didn't want to give the email out. They said, stop it.
But Sweaty, why didn't you go to Foley and say, we want your computer. We're going to have our experts go through it and see if you've been doing more than one inappropriate thing with these children. You had the power to do that, Denny, in your hand. Foley was answerable to you. You were Foley's boss to some degree. Why didn't you handle it? Oh, we didn't have the email. The family said... We're not talking about what the family said. We're talking about what you and Foley knew, what you and Foley did, what was on Foley's computer. Don't drag the family into this. He's trying to act like, oh, to protect the children, we allowed the molester to continue to protect the children. See, this is all about protecting the children. So we didn't take any steps. We allowed the molester to continue to protect the children.
You know, the guy that I asked to do that job a long time ago was John Shimkus. John Shimkus is an Army Ranger. He's a tough guy. He goes right to the point when there's a problem. He confronted the member, and the member said that he would stop doing that, asked him if there was any other messages. He said no. He said, don't do it again. You know, that's what we did. The parents were happy.
So your defense is you told the molester to knock it off, and he said, okay, I will? And then you forgot about it. You just let it go. Please stop sexing up the children. Okay. And then they forgot about it. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Denny, keep fighting for your job. Keep saying that you're going to stay on. Keep doing that. We love it. You need to have a press conference like this every day until the election.
And, you know, could we have done it better? Could the Page board have handled it better? In retrospect, probably yes.
Oh, so now it's the Page board that has the problem. Denny's okay. Boner's okay. Blunt's okay. It's that damn Page board. See, the problem is the pages. These seductive pages are always flouting their little 15-year-old, 16-year-old butts around D.C. How are these Republicans supposed to restrain themselves when the 16-year-old tail is always bouncing right in front of them? What do they expect these are, men with restraint?
But at that time, what we knew and what we acted upon was what we had.
Yeah, and what you had was a pervert stalking children. You told her to knock it off, and you looked the other way until you got caught.
Mr. Speaker, Kurt Fordham says that he passed this information along to Scott Palmer as early as 2002, 4 years ago.
It's interesting. Kurt Fordham also said just about 3 or 4 days ago that he worked for this guy for 10 years, and he never did anything wrong. So there's a little bit of difference in the testimony or what he said.
Last several days, I'm sure you've been considering your own future and the impact of all of this upon the upcoming elections. Why have you decided to remain, if that's what you have decided? And will there be any other changes, you think, among the Republican leadership?
Well, I'm going to run and presumably win in this election.
Well, gee, Denny, if your presence is going to cost a loss of between 20 and 50 seats in the House, why are you still confident that the Republicans in Chicago are going to send you back to approve more sexual predators? Are the people of Chicago really going to do that?
And when we do, I expect to run for leader, for speaker. And, I think everybody else will, too. But our members ultimately make that decision.
Mr. Speaker, there are reports that you've told some conservative groups that if you view that your staying as Speaker hurts the party, that you would step down. Could you tell us what
But ultimately, any time that a person has to, as a leader, be on the hot seat and he is a detriment to the party, there ought to be a change. There ought to be a change. There ought to be a change. I became Speaker in a situation like that.
That's right. And how nice of you to bring that up. You became Speaker because Newt Gingrich got caught with some whores. And then that Livingston stood up and said, well, I'll be Speaker. But then he got caught with some whores. And the Republicans panicked. They looked around and said, my God, we got to find somebody who's never been with a woman. How about the sweaty wrestler? Yeah, nobody would have sex with him. He's got to be safe. We can't have three in a row sexual perverts as Speaker of the House. And look here what happened. The Republicans have had three in a row sexual perverts as Speaker in the House. And it would have been four, but DeLay wanted to keep his name off of the king's chair. So yeah, Denny, thanks for reminding us. You're the third Republican pervert in a row to be Speaker of the House. Thanks, buddy.
I said I haven't done anything wrong, obviously.
Obviously, the sweaty wrestler has done nothing wrong. All he did was turn his back on a sexual predator. Well, see, Denny, that's why you can't be Speaker anymore, because you can't tell when you're fucking up. Pretty much any other Republican and every Democrat up there would know that you're supposed to prevent the sex abuser from continuing to sex abuse. But you don't think you did anything wrong by ignoring the warnings. But don't step down. Whatever you do, stay there and fight for your job.
And we need to come back. What we need to do is start talking about the issues.
Yes, we don't need to be talking about this sex crime anymore. We need to ignore that. Do like Dennis Hastert does. Look away. Look at some other direction. Let's talk about tax cuts. Let's talk about something else. But let's not talk about the Republicans trying to rape these 16-year-olds. Let's not talk about that anymore. That's a bad subject. Bad, bad subject, bad. No more about that. Talk about tax cuts.
We have a great economy. It's because of Republican tax cuts and Republican handling of the economy, holding the line on spending.
Well, I was kidding about the tax cuts. I didn't really know he was going to say that. But wait, you said you're holding the line on spending? You guys have spent more than any Congress in history, probably by double. You held the line on spending? I don't think the Congressional Budget Office will back that up. Once again, Denny, you don't have the facts. You're out of the mainstream. You don't seem to understand.
We have addressed the war on terror.
Oh, Denny, yes, you've addressed the terror problem. And how did it turn out? Real good. All we have is 2,720 dead soldiers. We're missing $2 billion a week, $2 billion a week that could go into Social Security or health care, finding a cure for cancer, or infrastructure. No, $2 billion a week thrown away to make things worse. 2,720 dead soldiers, $2 billion a week missing. And on top of all that, Bush's own national intelligence people say the problem is much, much worse, and it's going to get worse next year. But Dennis Hastert says he's looked at the problem, they're handling terrorism. Yeah, like you're handling those young boys. You're fucking it all up, Denny. You can't be trusted, but stay and fight for your job. We Democrats could use another 50 seats in the House.
We've done that continually over the last 5 years, and today we have a pretty safe America. And you know, a lot of us want, a lot of people wanted us to address the issue about the border.
Yes, let's talk about the border. Let's don't talk anymore about Foley and the 16-year-olds. That's all bad. That's bad, bad, bad. Let's talk about the border. Talk about tax cuts and the border. Talk about anything except the sex problem I'm caught up in. I'm Denny Hastert.
And we did exactly that. And, you know, last Friday, we culminated in appropriations that did fix the border.
Did you hear that? The border's fixed. Happy days are here again. The borders are fixed. If the borders are fixed, why are we still talking about it?
So, you know, we have a good story to tell. Our friends on the other side of the aisle really don't have a story to tell. And maybe they're resolving to another way to another political tactic. Thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker, this is not a good story.
Jack Cafferty's back with the Cafferty File. Jack?
Well, if the question is who's to blame for the deteriorating conditions in Afghanistan, things are getting worse in that country of late. Timothy writes from Florida, there's only one person who should shoulder the blame for the comeback of the Taliban in Afghanistan. That's George Bush, who, for some reason known only to him, decided that Saddam Hussein was a bigger threat to Americans than the guy who seems to have orchestrated every single terrorist attack against Americans anywhere in the world for the past decade. That would be Osama bin Laden. Kristen in Maryland, I believe the Bush administration is to blame for the deteriorating conditions in Afghanistan. Most of our resources and manpower are in Iraq. We left a weak state to defend themselves against terrorist cells. To quell terrorism, we have to equally distribute our resources and manpower to both countries. Devashish writes, I would blame both Bush and Musharraf. Musharraf took advantage of President Bush's indifferent approach after the initial bombing of the Taliban. Musharraf's a fox. He was the architect of the terrorism in India. Why should Afghanistan be any different? Tony in California, one thing's for sure, it's not President Bush and his cohorts. They haven't been responsible for anything since 9/12, so Afghanistan must be someone else's fault. And Al in Danbury, Connecticut, Jack, I think the state of Ohio is to blame for the problems in Afghanistan. After all, they put W in the White House.
I was fascinated to learn this afternoon that the much talked about Bill Clinton interview with Chris Wallace,
yes,
that that actually preceded a visit he paid to you. And
yeah.
you I guess saw him right after that episode.
I was really the eyewitness to this compartmentalization. If you think that whole thing with Chris Wallace, where he got angry at him and you're doing this and you're doing that, mm-hmm, that was meant. No, he was genuinely, they broke some sort of deal, and he came back into our room and he was fuming. Mm-hmm. He didn't smoke anymore, and there was still this cigar smoke was still coming, yeah, out of his head. Yeah. And he was just fuming, not at anybody, but just that they had broken this deal. And I was like, oh, this is not going to be a good interview. He sits down across from me and just focuses like this, looking at the button on my jacket, and I'm thinking, didn't we go through this with Monica Lewinsky already? What the hell's happening now? And then finally he comes up, pleasant as a spring day.
Yeah.
Just 15 minutes of just, you know, warm and honest. I said, what would you do if President Bush called you and asked you for advice on sincerely and said one thing to save the presidency or help the country right now? He took 30 seconds and just thought about the perfect answer. He was generous Even after this interview with Chris Wallace, he talked about bipartisanship, and he said, you know, you've got to be, don't be rude to them if you don't agree with them. Prove dissent. I mean, it's just perfect. At the end of the interview, he goes, we're done? I said, yes. And he gets up, goes right back over to that assistant, and picks up where he was. Mm. And then, what? It's really, I just thought that was the most amazing thing I ever saw.
Yeah, I would. I mean, he's been here a couple of times, and I'm always intimidated by this glowing intelligence leaping from the man. And I think, well, here's a guy you just don't want to piss off on television. You know, there's like Andy Dick. I'll be happy to, you know, but that's not a problem. If you don't want to. Speaking of guys to piss off. Yeah. You have is it a feud or is it just what with Bill O'Reilly? Now, you guys are opposite one another in time periods, correct?
Yeah.
And is it an active feud or just one of those things?
Well, yeah, I'd say it's a feud. I mean, you've interviewed him.
He's been here a couple of times, yeah.
you know the drill. He makes a lot of mistakes, and I just point him out. Uh-huh. And he decides to call the cops on me. I'm not really sure how that works.
Somebody called in and asked him about you on his show.
Yeah, on his radio show. Yeah, mentioned my name, right. And as with all radio shows, they have these 10-second delays. He dropped the call. The guy swears all he said was, "Wait, what are you ragging on Oberman for?" Mm-hmm. And he comes on and he goes, you know, Mike, we have the phone numbers. We have these phone numbers you people call in. Mike will be getting a visit from Fox Security. And I'm listening to this, and I'm going, thank you, Lord! And then the second part of it, he says, and maybe his local authorities will be stopping by, too. I thought, Bill thinks he has his own police.
It's illegal to phone a radio station.
It's illegal to mention my name!
What is the answer, Bill?
Well, Wolf, a Republican Congress is leaving. What are the odds that a Republican Congress will be coming back? Democrats are cautiously optimistic about regaining the majority in the House of Representatives and increasingly hopeful of winning control of the Senate. Right now, CNN estimates that 22 House seats could change parties, all in the same direction.
If you look at the most vulnerable 15, 20, 25 congressional districts in the country that are most competitive, that could turn, each and every one is a Republican.
Democrats need a net gain of 15 seats to win a majority in the House. 15 out of 22 sounds tough, but it looks increasingly doable. Republicans are in serious trouble in the suburbs, homeland of moderate voters, like the New York suburbs of Connecticut, the Philadelphia suburbs, and the suburbs of Denver and Tucson. The Senate looks tougher for Democrats.
I think the Republicans are still narrow favorites to hold the Senate, but there's been a fundamental shift in the way I think I view the race and the way most handicappers view it.
Right now, 7 Republican Senate seats are at risk. The Democrats need to win 6 of those 7 seats to control the Senate. That's tough. 5 of those 7 states voted to re-elect President Bush in 2004. That's tougher. Democrats cannot afford to lose the one Senate seat they hold that may be in trouble, New Jersey. They say a week is a long time in politics.
3 weeks from now, we could decide that the Democrats have a better chance in the Senate than the House. Things are shifting. There are a lot of unknowns.
What is known is that national conditions favor Democrats. Republicans are borrowing a bit of wisdom from a Democrat, the late House Speaker Tip O'Neill, who said, all politics is local, which is true, except when it isn't true. Maybe Democrats hope this year.
Dick is a killer.
Going to do a little thing now on the difference between two television anchors. On the left, we have that perky little Katie Couric. And on the right, we have Chris Wallace, fascist whore. Tell me, just before this even happens, take a guess. Which one of the two do you think does their job better?
Why didn't you do more to put bin Laden and al-Qaeda out of business?
Now, he may be a fascist bastard, but Chris Wallace's job is to attack anything that moves that's to the left of Hermann Göring, and that would include Bill Clinton. So he's done his job. He's supposed to be a prick bastard, and he's pretty good at that. Knowing how that perky little CBS girl is at her job.
How does one go about asking the Secretary of State out on a date? Hi, Madam Secretary, listen.
See, that's one big difference between the left and the right when it comes to TV. The right-wingers, they are always on the attack all the time. They don't play nice. They don't ask nice questions. They always go for the throat. They always go for the jugular. They want blood, and they want it now. And they always do their job 100% of the time, all the time, constantly. And the idiots on the left, oh, we just want to be fair. We just want to be fair to all sides, give all sides of the story. So when I have the kind of slutty on, I'm going to ask her a bunch of puffball questions so she can look human. No wonder we're losing. Our side doesn't fight. We just stand there.
We lied in the evening. We did everything to keep the secret to the very end.
This Mark Foley guy, he wanted to rehab now.
I know.
Because he says, I believe I'm an alcoholic.
Jay, alcohol, he's giving alcohol a bad name, basically. People blaming their little nasty habits on alcohol. Leave alcohol out of this. Alcohol might make you, sleep with a fatty or pee on your neighbor's yard, but you don't turn into a pedophile.
You have a beer. Hey, where's the paper boy?
You know what? Really, really drunk. I never went and bought Girl Scout cookies. Come here, baby. Mama want a thin mint. Come here. Come on, man. It's a load of crap. It really is.
This is Bart Cop Radio.
Not only did the Mark Foley story send congressional Republicans into panic mode, it also eclipsed last week's big story when three Republican senators criticized the president for taking liberties with people's liberties.
If it's seen that our country is trying to redefine the Geneva Convention to meet the needs of the CIA, why can't every other country redefine the Geneva Convention to meet the needs of their secret police? It would be a disaster.
Yes, a disaster, as opposed to what we have in Iraq now. What's it called when a hellhole hits a cataclysm? A catastrophe. Ultimately, I just coined that, didn't I? You can use that whenever you want to. Ultimately, the president and the senators hammered out a compromise. I'm not saying they strapped the president to some sort of board and made him feel as though he was about to drown, but let's just say he came around. The bill clarifies the rights of enemy combatants and sets limits on the use of torture while maintaining the president's ability to define who an enemy combatant is and what constitutes torture. So, we're keeping the Geneva Conventions with one subtle change. Asterisk. There you go. Senator McCain, for one, was satisfied.
I'm confident that some of the abuses that were reportedly committed in the past will be prohibited in the future.
He's confident that some abuses that may have happened won't happen anymore. You might not hear that on McCain's Straight Talk Express, but certainly on the squirmy mumble minivan. Great. So these limits are clearly set out in the law. Good.
If you had confidence that those tactics were disallowed, why didn't you get it in the actual law?
Well, what we did, John, was we outlawed certain procedures, including some of those that you might think would be natural murder, rape, etc.
Whoa. Let the word go forth from this time and place, from friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans who, in the name of their own security, have decided neither to murder or rape you.
Let's stop it, Tom.
President,
listen, fellas, we're going to stop it.
Did we lose the feed?
No, we're live. I would like both of you to clear the stage. I don't want anyone to think that you were part of this. You clear the stage. Go on. Go on, go on. This is not going to be a very good show tonight. And I think you should change the channel.
What the
change
hell?
The channel.
When did they put this
go on? Right now.
So anybody know what the hell's going on?
Betty, turn off the TV, okay? I know it seems like this is supposed to be funny, but tomorrow you're going to find out that it wasn't, and by that time I'll have been fired. No, this is not... This is not a sketch.
This is real.
You want to go to BTR?
This show used to be cutting-edge political and social satire, but it's gotten lobotomized by a candy-ass broadcast network, hell-bent on doing nothing that might challenge their audience. We're about to do a sketch that you've seen already about 500 times. Yeah, no one's going to confuse George Bush with George Plimpton. Now, we get it. We're all being lobotomized by this country's most influential industry that's just thrown in the towel on any endeavor to do anything that doesn't include the courting of 12-year-old boys. Not even the smart 12-year-olds, the stupid ones, the idiots, which there are plenty, thanks in no small measure to this network. So why don't you just change the channel? Turn off your TVs. Do it right now. Go ahead. No, I get it. This is not nonsense.
Get the camera off of it.
Put it on what?
Cut the boom mic then.
It's his show. I take my instructions from him.
Struggle between art and commerce. Well, there's always been a struggle between art and commerce. And now I'm telling you, art is getting its ass kicked. And it's making us mean. And it's making us bitchy. It's making us cheap punks. That's not who we are. People are having contests to see how much they can be like Donald Trump.
Are you bleeping this out?
Caesar. He hasn't said anything you're not allowed to say.
He's telling people to change the channel.
I don't think you have to worry about anybody changing the channel right now.
Get him off or you don't have a job tomorrow.
I'm running a live national broadcast. Can you threaten me later?
We're eating worms for money. Who wants to screw my sister? Guys are getting killed in a war that's got theme music and a logo. That remote in your hand is a crack pipe. Oh, yeah, every once in a while we pretend to be appalled.
Cass, I'm waiting for him to say something that isn't true.
Who else in here knows how to do this?
Come to my control room.
Get him off.
You got two kids in school.
What?
She said you got two kids in private school whose father's 5 seconds away from never working again.
Pornographers. It's not even good pornography. They're just this side of snuff films. And friends, that's what's next because that's all that's left.
Cal, come on.
And the two things that make them scared gutless are the FCC and every psycho-religious cult that gets positively horny at the very mention of a boycott.
All right, stand
these
by BTR.
We're
going
to cut in early.
It's prissy, feckless, off the charts, greed-filled whorehouse.
There it is.
Network. And you're watching this thoroughly unpatriotic.
Mother,
go BTR now.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's tonight's top 10. The category tonight, top 10 signs the earth is too damn hot. This global warming is a problem, and I know you're thinking to yourselves, well, we're kind of looking forward to it because we have short-sleeve shirts in our closet we never use. But that's not really the proper perspective. It's getting too hot, and scientists say that the temperature of the Earth, the ambient, the atmospheric temperature, has never been hotter in like a million years. This is the hottest it's ever been. Mm. That's a bad thing.
I think it's a bad thing.
What will it do to the pudding industry? The category tonight, top 10 signs the Earth is too damn hot. Here we go, number 10. It is so hot, Tom Cruise was screaming at Al Roker, number 9. It is so hot, Willie Nelson got caught with a kilo of Italian ices, number 8. It is so hot, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is enriching Gatorade. Enriching Gatorade, not a match. The board goes back.
Does go back.
Number 7, it's so hot, Bobby Brown called Whitney Houston just to get the cold shoulder. Number 6. It's so hot I saw Rachel Ray making soup in the East River. In the East River. It's so hot Britney Spears' baby is driving a convertible. And number four, it's so hot, Katie Couric is doing the news in a tankini. I have no idea what a tankini is.
Well, I know what it is. It's a bikini bottom and a tank top.
I see. Thank you very much, Paul. Number three, it's so hot, Al Gore has a new movie, An Inconvenient Sweat Stain. Oh. And number two, it's so hot, Paris Hilton was seen canoodling with Ted Williams' head.
Oh, man. That's hot.
And the number one sign the earth is too damn hot. It's so hot, Jim McGreevy is having an affair with Ben and Jerry. Yes.
U.S. Senator George Allen is in the political fight of his life as he battles charges that he used the N-word back in the 70s. A number of acquaintances of the Virginia Republican are now saying they heard him use that epithet, including a former classmate who spoke with Inside Edition. April Woodard reports.
He's one of the most powerful United States senators, and he's in a tough re-election battle. Now Virginia Republican George Allen is facing explosive charges leveled by this man, a former college friend named Ken Shelton.
I feel then, now, that George was a racist.
Ken Shelton is a radiologist and lives in North Carolina. In the 1970s, he was a football teammate and friend of Senator Allen at the University of Virginia. In an interview with Inside Edition, Shelton says that while in college, Allen often used a racial slur, the N-word, when referring to blacks.
It was a common word that George used. Never in the presence of blacks. In fact, he was cordial in their presence.
Shelton also says Allen once stuffed a severed deer head into a black family's mailbox.
George drove to a mailbox of a black family, opened the mailbox, and shoved in the severed deer's head.
The charges, first made public on the website Salon.com, are being denounced by Allen. He calls them, quote, ludicrously false, telling the Associated Press, I don't remember ever using that word, and it is absolutely false that that was ever part of my vocabulary. Allen has faced questions about his racial insensitivity since this incident was recorded during a recent campaign appearance.
Welcome. Let's give a welcome to Makaka here.
Senator Allen has insisted that he did not know the word he was using is a French racial slur. He was also caught off guard during a recent debate when asked about his mother's Jewish heritage.
To be getting into what religion my mother is, I don't think is relevant.
Senator Allen has been mentioned as a possible 2008 presidential candidate. His accuser, Ken Shelton, insists he has no political motive in making these latest accusations and says he regrets he didn't come forward years ago.
I do regret that I have not come forward sooner.
There are reports that at least three others, in addition to Dr. Shelton, have heard the senator use that offensive term.
I don't want to hug the tar baby of trying to comment on the program.
In keeping with the spirit of tomorrow's local elections, tonight's topic will be Electoral College versus Popular Vote. Advocating the popular vote, Master Shane Botwin.
My argument for the popular vote, George W. Bush. That's against the rules.
How am I supposed to argue when he invokes the name of the worst president we've ever had and then just sits? He didn't follow protocol.
Just go, Gretchen.
This is totally unfair. I forfeit. You suck.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacle obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 a.m. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
This next brother coming to the stage straight out of D.C. Give it up for Earthquake! I love you too, baby. Shit, yeah. Fucking L.A. I'm from D.C., but I'm telling y'all right now, if gas go up one more motherfucking penny, I'm gonna buy me a fucking horse. Grass gotta be cheaper than gas, nigga. Bullshit you not. My daughter said she wanted a pet. Fuck a pet. Time's too hard to have anything living in your house ain't pulling their fair share. So I bought her ass a pet the whole family can use, an old retired police drug dog. So when I lose my last bag of herb, nigga, you better find it. I be walking my dog through the projects, just find a nigga stash. Good boy. You found some cocaine too, that's what I'm talking about. You keep coming home with eight balls, nigga, you gonna get your own room. I'm about to put my son out back, motherfucker. This nigga's coming home with eight balls, motherfucker. I go to my man house, you got some herb? No, I'm all out. He say, no, you not, nigga. He say, you got cocaine too. You's a selfish motherfucker. Don't fuck with ecstasy. That's white people drug. It make you hallucinate. And black people, we don't need to loosen it, because some of us already got problem with reality. I dropped two of them tablets. My daughter rabbit still won't come in the house. She like, Daddy, what you do to that rabbit? He hates your ass. What you do to that rabbit? I said, I told you, keep that goddamn rabbit out my room. All that fur look alike when you high. Now the rabbit done had bunnies and shit. I hope ain't no my motherfucking kids. I'll be all on the Maury show. I didn't fuck that rabbit. Them bunnies ain't got my eyes, nigga. Open the envelope. Open up. This is bullshit. I'm a Katrina survivor, motherfucker. Yeah. And I wasn't even in New Orleans. Nigga, I went through a divorce, nigga. That is a hurricane. That bitch came through, snatched the house, the money, and everything. And ain't nobody tell me no forecast. Gotta find the right motherfucking woman. When I was young, I thought a fine woman was a chick with the measurements, 26, 36, 24. A fine woman, when you 40, is a chick with the measurement of a FICO score of 750. You just be looking at that bitch, look at that 100% financing, just walking around. I could come up if I can get that bitch. I done refinanced my house so many times, nigga, I just own the gate. Gotta find the right one, man. Gotta make sure you find the right one. Got to get that right. But black people, we gotta do something about our kids, because these motherfuckers are dangerous. I bullshit you not, but I love my daughter because she, you know, she's a junior at Grambling University, and I love her. Yeah. Miss Junior, that is my girl. First, she didn't want to go to college. I told her, little black ass, she going to college. even if I had to put her bed in the classroom with the professor. She like, Daddy, you ain't go to college. I like, yeah, we gambled on my black ass, but we ain't gambling on you. Because public school owe my ass a refund. Them niggas pushed me through, and I wasn't playing no sports or nothing. I went to my 20-year anniversary. My teacher was like, ooh, we so proud of you. I like, bitch, you ain't help. I don't know none of my alphabets or nothing. I got my son in private school. I can't help him with none of his goddamn homework. When he bring his homework home, nigga, I gotta hide from him like he the police. Oh, shit. This motherfucker got that fifth grade report card and shit. You gonna need some help with this work, goddammit. One time he caught me in the basement. He's like, Daddy, what you think? I'm like, shit, what you think? You was there. What the teacher say, motherfucker? I can't do homework and tell jokes. You're holding me back like the Klan, motherfucker. But we got to do something about our kids. Them brothers are committing crimes we'd have never done when we was young. I don't know what's up all over this thug shit, but it's getting out of hand. Bullshit you not. When I see four or five thuggish brothers walking down the street, I'm like, white people, oh shit, here them niggas come. Don't look at them, baby. Don't look at them motherfuckers. Take that gold off. Fuck your hair up. They'll rape both of us. What kind of nigga rape you and your wife? She like, help me. Bitch, my ass hurt too. You need to help me. Show them a titty. Get them off of my ass. I thought I had to fight these niggas. I didn't know they was raping families. Fuck done happened to the neighborhood. You and your wife in rape counseling. She get in the meeting, just start snitching. Well, they fucked him first. And he was screaming like a bitch. I was ashamed to be the nigga's wife. I'm Earthquake. Oh, God bless y'all.
So there you have it. Bart Cop Radio Show 98 is in the can. Hope it included most of the things that I told you was coming in the opener, but it's been so long, and I can't keep track of Jack. So I'll get to work on Show 99. Like to thank the subscribers, like to thank the people that drop the occasional check in the mail, because as you know, the surprise gift is non-taxable. Subscriptions are taxable, but if someone says, Bart, here's a few quid, you're doing a good job, that goes right in my hot little pocket. So thanks for the subscribers, thanks for the occasional cash donations in the mail. Appreciate the t-shirt buyers. Oh, and we got lots of shot glasses left. I took the ad off the page because it was just kind of sitting there and taking up room, but we got lots of shot glasses. Tell you what, that's what we ought to do. Special just for the subscribers, like a Priceline deal. Send me an email and tell me what you'd pay for four shot glasses, and we'll ship those out to you if we can come to an agreement. We got lots of shot glasses we need to get rid of, so if you could use four of those, they really are just as good looking as they can be. They're just fine. So if you could use four of them, send me an email, make me an offer, let's see what we can do. Because we got lots of shot glasses. So this is Bart, getting ready to work on Show 99. I'm out of here. The shadows remain since your decision.
Jackson City right in front of you. Birds sang in broken trees. They're coming home to New Orleans. Lower Ninth will rise again. Above the waters of Lake Pontchartrain. See the bird with the leaf in her mouth. After the flood, or come.